And now for today's fun football scores. Nerves nil, friends made 11.
Goals 4, giggles 17.
Wheelchair access 1, feeling left out, 0.
Celebrations 3, high fives 21.
McDonald's Fun Football. Free football coaching for all kids aged 5 to 11. Search McDonald's Football to find out more.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Whether you're selling flaky soul or fine art prints, Shopify covers all your sales channels to simplify selling online and in person. Plus, they provide industry-leading tools and 24/7 support to ignite your growth. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. To sign up, visit shopify.co.uk/podcast23, all lowercase.
Batter Up.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to A Pod of Their Own. This is episode 163 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I'm joined this week by my lovely co-hosts, Linda Surovich. Hello, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
And Maggie Wicken. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Allison.
As you can hear, I am pretty sick, so I apologize in advance for the raspy, stuffy sound of my voice. But
the Mets are making us all ill. Let's be real.
Well, and I was going to say also, like, it's not even the Mets that's making you sick, but it sort of was.
Yeah,
it literally was the Mets, because I am choosing to blame my cold on the New York Mets and the Washington Nationals, because I was present at that debacle disaster game on Saturday night that they started in the rain for two innings, and then it rained too heavily and they covered the field, and then there was a 4-hour rain delay, and then they took the tarp off the field. It was not raining anymore. They worked on the field for like another hour, made us all think that they were starting the game again. And then they did not start the game again. And so we were stuck at that ballpark for 4 hours, and I was rained on, and I sat in my soaking wet clothes at the ballpark for four hours. And now I have a terrible cold. So that's like pretty much the mood.
It's never a good sign when Gary Cohen describes your day as shameful.
Yes, so true. That whole thing wasn't shameful is the right word for it. It was handled shamefully by the Nationals, by Major League Baseball. And the Mets all around are just shameful right now. They started off this week by losing 2 out of 3 to the Reds. And the only game they won was a game where Justin Verlander looked like himself. So we thought that was kind of the saving grace for the New York Mets, that Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander were coming back to the rotation. And then Justin Verlander pitched tonight and pitched badly. And I mean, the Mets just lost a bunch of games against really bad teams. Well, how did they think it was going to go against the Tampa Bay Rays, who are the best team in baseball right now?
I mean, the Mets are just a bad baseball team. They're like, who can they be? I just feel like we're just rehashing everything from last week. They can't beat the good teams. They can't beat the bad teams. They're just fundamentally flawed, and this is it.
They can't hit and they can't pitch. Except right. David Robertson can pitch.
David Robertson
but
can
only
pitch.
One inning at a time, and it turns out there are 9.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> And I mean, like, they have less so the pitching than the hitting, but they have like intermittently looked okay on either the hitting side or the pitching side at times, but they've never put it really together at the same time is the problem. Like, you know, Justin Verlander pitched that good game, but they won 2-1. And you know, the only game that they've put it really all together in the past week plus, at least like 10 days, was game 2 on Sunday, when Max Scherzer looked pretty good in his return from neck spasms. He only went 5 innings, but he looked all right. And the Mets, you know, finally realized that they're supposed to be a team that can hit. And did so, and put up, you know, a big inning against a not good, very good pitcher. And that was good. And I was starting to feel like, okay, like, Yes, that they've been playing poorly. Yes, the subsequent game on Monday did not go well, but that's because David Peterson started the game. And whenever they start David Peterson, they are essentially forfeiting. But one was kind of hoping that they were potentially maybe turning a corner, because that was hopefully maybe the last time we would see David Peterson for quite some time because of the returns of Verlander, Scherzer, and soon Carlos Carrasco as well. And so we thought maybe, you know, but now they're out of the easy part of the schedule that they didn't take advantage of, and they're playing the Tampa Bay Rays, who are 10 times the team that they are. So
it's not pretty.
And with Verlander not looking good.
Not looking good. I mean, you know, he faced the Cincinnati Reds last time, who are not very good, and this time he faced an offense that's good and didn't look good. So, yeah.
I mean, it's at the point, too, where, like, it's the quarter mark of the season,
uh-huh.
and you would start to have rumblings about, okay, what's going to be in the trade market? And, like, but then you look at the Mets, and there's just, where would you even begin?
I don't know. Like, the... I don't know. They might be able to get some starting pitching help, but it's going to cost.
But also, at this point, are you buyers or are you sellers?
Is it worth it? Yeah, to buy. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're going to sell. Except for maybe on the margin, they're not going to trade any important players. They trade like Eduardo Escobar, but he has no trade value right now.
Would you consider trading Verlander?
I don't know.
I mean,
he doesn't really have trade value right now either, because he didn't pitch for a month.
Sure.
I mean, I guess he does, but it's not the trade value it would be. But then the Mets wouldn't be in the position that they are if he was pitching well and had been pitching for the first month of the season, probably. So it's a really bad situation that they're in now, and they can't really, there's not really a way out except playing better, which it's unclear that they're capable of that at this point.
You know, I mean, the big thing right now is, you know, everybody's clamoring for Vientos and Mauricio, but I don't know if they're the answer either. I mean, Vientos looked completely overmatched last year. Granted, you know, it was the end of the year, September call-up, but still, I don't know if they're the answers either. Where do they play? Play every day?
No, I mean, Vientos... That's the thing about Vientos. It's like, yes, you can call him up and you can like find a spot for him on the roster by like DFAing Eduardo Escobar or something. But then you're calling up Vientos to what? Be the DH, like be the platoon DH to Vogelback and play like twice a week. Like, is that really worth it or even helpful? Even if he is good? Like what? It would be helpful if he could play the outfield, but he can't.
No,
and these are all marginal moves, and they're not in a position. They don't need marginal moves. They need major moves. They need like an enormous change to happen. This is not last year's Mets, where like, all right, they were really good. They just need a little bit extra, which they didn't get. But there's marginal is just a waste of time for a team like this.
Yeah,
well, exactly.
This is what pisses me off. Like, you go for it when you have the chance, and they didn't do that because you never know what the future holds. Like, this is basically the same exact team, and now they're awful.
Because everything that went right last year is going wrong right now.
Yep. Yes.
Like,
yes.
All the you know, not exactly bench guys, but your role players, like Mark Hanna and Escobar, who, you know, I mean, he didn't light the world on fire last year, but he had a pretty solid season. Like, all these guys came in and were pretty solid guys, and it's just like none of them are clicking right now. And, you know, last year they brought in Scherzer, like grizzled vet, and he pitched fantastically. And this year did the same with Verlander and did not work. And Scherzer's broken too. Like, it's just... That roll of the die is brutal.
I mean, if Verlander and Scherzer don't pitch well, like, this team was never going to be successful.
Yeah,
like, no. That's just the way that it is. The same way that last year, if DeGrom and Scherzer didn't pitch well, the team was never going to be successful. Luckily, yes, both of them had injuries, but when they were healthy, they were successful. So the team was successful. And obviously the offense played a lot better. I know that the lack of power was a problem last year that persists into this year. Basically, outside of Pete Alonso, they don't have a serious power threat. Lindor is like somewhat of a power threat. He has the second most home runs on the team, but it's a huge gap between Alonso and him, and then a huge gap between Lindor and everybody else. And nobody else has more than like three home runs besides Lindor and Alonso. Which is a problem that was last year that is persistent into this year and is even more glaring this year now that, you know, they're struggling in other areas, as particularly giving up home runs, as we've seen tonight and as we record this on Tuesday night and, you know, pretty much every day with the Mets pitching these days. And, you know, they by guys getting healthy, those marginal moves are happening. Like, you don't have the only like depth starter you have in the rotation at this point, in theory, if Carrasco comes back this time through the rotation, which he should, is Tyler McGill, which is a similar situation to what they were in last year for most of it. And they survived that way. And that was fine. But those guys performed last year, at least were adequate. This year, they have not been adequate. David Peterson has taken a huge step back. He's been unrosterable. Tyler McGill has been borderline unrosterable, has taken a step back, not quite as big, but like that is a huge problem. Like, the Mets were needing those guys to be the same, kind of the same thing they were last year, and they are much worse now, along with pretty much everybody else that's been filling in too. Lucchesi's been okay at times. He had the one really good start. Sorry, Linda. Yes. But he's been mediocre for the other times. You know, they needed those guys to step up and they haven't, has been the issue. And yeah, I mean, this is just a really bad baseball team right now. Starling Marte and Mark Canna were both really good last year and huge cogs in their offense. And this year they look bad. Both of them looked like they were maybe starting to turn a corner. Obviously they've been shut down today by the Rays, but the Rays are very good. So I don't know. Like, it's hard. I always say in baseball, nothing's real until Memorial Day. And luckily for the Mets, the National League is so atrocious that like the division is more,
but they're
lost.
Part of that. They're atrocious.
Yes. They're atrocious.
How do we know?
So
how
is everybody else.
They're waiting the average. No,
they can end up kings of shit mountain at the end of this. It's still possible statistically. I would say that it's the division is basically impossible unless something absolutely insane happens. But I like there's no point in watching the Braves score right now on a day-to-day basis. I would say don't scoreboard watch the Braves. Just don't do it because they're gone.
Doesn't matter. They're in last place. They got a lot of people to jump.
Sure, but it's clustered. Like they're all terrible. All these teams are bad. And you know, the Mets could win 89 games and sneak in and do what the Phillies did, but it's hard to envision it right now because of how they're playing.
They can't win a game.
Yeah.
They can't beat the Reds. They can't
beat
the
Nationals. Beat the Tigers. Like,
It is kind of crazy to think that this was the same team that had that solid West Coast road trip where they took two from the Dodgers and they did sweep the A's, right? Like,
they did.
Everyone swept the A's.
But they did.
You're not special.
Right, but it does just feel like things fell apart rather abruptly
after that. Yeah, because they split. Yeah. They split that series with the Giants. And then after that,
yeah,
things
when they came
got
home.
Really bad. Yeah,
yeah,
they lost 2 of 3 to the Nationals when they came home.
Yes, yeah, it's really
Allison's
bad.
Like, I know of what you speak.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah. I mean, such as it is, I can go through the injury updates that we have gotten. I mean, whatever. It's shuffling deck chairs on the Titanic at this point, but there are roster shufflings occurring. As I alluded to, David Peterson pitched.
Peterson got yeeted, so that's already a plus.
Yeah, that's an improvement. Peterson pitched poorly yesterday and immediately got optioned again, which is good. Hopefully that is the last we see of him for some time, because I mean, yeah, like It's hard to pin, like, you can't pin everything on one guy. The Mets are playing terribly in every facet of the game right now. But someone did point out that the Mets are, like, I think it's 19 and 15 or 19 and 14 in games not started by David Peterson and 1-7 in games started by David Peterson. So that is a pretty big swing.
It's so, not what you want.
It's bad, but he has been optioned. So, and like, hopefully he's not back for a while. He needs to figure his stuff out in AAA. Like, you know, maybe there's still hope for him yet, but he needs some time, like some extended time down there. And so Carlos Carrasco should be back, like I said. You know, Tomas Nito is currently on the IL with dry eye syndrome, which is a weird one. But I mean, it kind of makes sense that he suddenly looked like he wasn't a Major League Baseball player. I mean, seems like one, the ability to see is probably necessary for playing
just
baseball.
A little bit.
yeah. Which explains, like, obviously he has never been a good hitter at the big league level. And he's been, like, not a big league hitter at all this season. So that was one thing. But, like, his defense tanked as well, which was the more surprising thing, because he's always been a stellar defensive catcher, which was why he was around. So to see that, like, suddenly deteriorate out of nowhere, not like a slow and steady decline, all of a sudden he was, like, just not very good anymore, and it was like, what's going on there? I guess if he can't see, he can't really catch or throw or do anything.
So,
So Michael Perez is up for the time being. He's the backup catcher right now. He had a really good day in the only game he's caught so far, in the resumption of the suspended game on Saturday. He was about the only one who was doing anything in that game, hitting wise. The Mets signed former Yankee Gary Sanchez to catch at AAA. We may actually see Gary Sanchez at some point, because he has an opt out in his contract. I forget exactly when it is, but it's sometime in May. So if he's not up before then he can opt out. Unclear if the Mets will roster him so that he doesn't opt out, or if they will just let him opt out.
Why not just bring him up? Who cares at this point? I mean, honestly.
It doesn't matter. I mean, like,
I mean, if anything, like, he could be a guy you could flip if you just like got a random spate of like 11 home runs out of him in 2 months. You could get some like half decent prospect for that. Everyone
probably get like the equivalent of a Drew Smith.
Yeah,
maybe
when they got
who
Drew
has
Smith.
Been fine.
Yeah,
I mean. That would be optimistic. Gary Sanchez hasn't hit in the majors for quite some time.
That's true. It has been a while.
But,
I still say a couple years ago and mean like 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Like, time goes by more quickly than you think. It's been a while since Gary Sanchez was like playable. But he is hitting in AAA for the Mets right now. I think he's hitting pretty well in the early going. So we'll see if he ends up with the Mets. But I mean, they can do that, but like, it would be a really quick stint, because we learned today, actually, like I said, we're recording this Tuesday night, and we learned earlier this afternoon that Omar Narvaez will begin a rehab assignment late next week. So the Gary Sanchez point might be moot anyway, because Omar Narvaez is going to be back soon, in theory, though he'll need a more extended rehab stint because he's been gone for a while. And then the Mets are going to have a problem on their hands. I mean, I don't know like how long Tomas Nito is going to be on the IL for. It's not like an injury that has a timeline in the way that a lot of other things are.
What do you do for it besides eye drops? So yeah.
My uncle had dry eye for years, as a result of his like chemo treatments. Because apparently one of the like side effects of chemo is that you get really bad dry eye. And he just had eye drops for it that he was like constantly using. And I don't know like if you use them, if it's not like a chronic condition the way it was for my uncle, if you just like use them for a while, like it improves, or if you just have to like use them always. I don't know.
So I have it also, and I will get like astigmatism if I don't take care of it, which is the very, and like the thing is you have to use eye drops like constantly.
Yeah.
Like I'm supposed to be using them every 2 hours. I am not using them every 2 hours. I use them like twice a day, but yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, Tomas Nito suddenly having like bad astigmatism makes a lot of sense. Like that explains why
why are there two baseballs?
Explains why he like literally couldn't see the ball or like do anything. So unclear, like, what if the eye drops help him, like, then maybe he just needs to, like, in the dugout in the middle of the game, just be like eye dropping. But if he comes back and Narvaez comes back, like, they have three catchers suddenly. So I don't know what they do there. They have a couple of choices. They could roster three catchers. They would have to get rid of somebody else on the position player side to do so. You could DFA Eduardo Escobar. Like, at this point, they're barely playing him. They could send Alvarez down, which is, I think, what they're going to do, which would be sad because he's playing pretty well. But I don't know what they're going to do. They could try to trade Tomas Nito. We said that in the offseason / the beginning of the season. Like, they could try to trade Tomas Nito because he's under this cheap extension that they have. But, like, now he has no trade value because he hasn't done anything this year.
Tommy Pham has got to be under consideration for a DFA, too.
Yeah, I suppose. But then they have no backup outfielders. He basically has to be on the roster.
Where's Tim LoCastro at?
Honestly, excellent question, because Tim LoCastro had these back spasms, air quotes, and he's been on rehab assignment in AAA for weeks now.
So and he was in Canada's YouTube video.
What are they doing? They have to make a decision with him at some point. I admire the commitment to heavy roster manipulation that the Mets have this year, but at some point you're going to have to expose some of these guys to waivers, and I really don't think that other teams are valuing them as much as you do.
I'm not really worried about Tim LoCastro getting picked up on waivers.
I am not worried about Tim LoCastro getting picked up on waivers. I am not worried about Tommy Hunter getting picked up on waivers. I am not worried about Jimmy Yacobonis getting picked up on waivers. Like, these are the guys that they have seemingly phantom IL'd this season already. Jimmy Yacobonis is currently on the IL with a quad strain. Unclear if that is phantom or not.
If y'all want him back, you can get him also on waivers 4 weeks from now. And
yeah, exactly.
Okay, say, or find a dude just like him on waivers.
Yeah. So that's other bullpen news. Brooks Raley has returned from the injured list and pitched in yesterday's game. Looked a little shaky. He walked three guys, but he didn't give up any runs. So hopefully that was just him shaking the rust off. And he'll be better in the future. So he's back. But yeah, like I said, at some point, listen, he's been a mensch of the week. I love Tommy Hunter. I appreciate him and I respect him and his career, but he has been bad. And they need to churn him out at some point, and they can't be afraid to expose him to waivers. He's 38 years old and has a 7 ERA. I think they'll be fine. I think
get a bad back.
Get him back.
Say it, but, he has a bad back too.
Right.
So
it's not a major concern.
Yeah.
I think this is what they mean by replacement level.
Exactly. I think what was kind of, aside from Narvaez, which was good, suddenly, we hadn't heard anything about him and suddenly he was going on rehab assignment, which is great. I think the other most surprising news that we got today was that Jose Quintana has a CT scan on Friday. And if that goes well, he could be cleared to ramp up. Which is really good news. I mean, I think that they were still estimating the All-Star break. I think if he's cleared to ramp up this week, maybe that timeline is a little faster than they anticipated, but it's still going to take quite a while for him to ramp up because he basically got injured.
Nothing.
Yeah, in spring training. He needs another whole spring training's worth of reps. Maybe they'll have their complete rotation at some point, but who's to say if it will be any good?
That is the question, isn't it?
Because it's not it's not like guys like Verlander are coming back from being injured and giving you what you were hoping to get.
And they're all, Verlander's already 40. Scherzer's gonna be 40. The others are over 30. It might just be the natural The Father Time comes for us all.
They built an old team, and it was a risk, and they are paying the price.
Deeply.
I think that everyone knew that this was a risk. I think that this is, like, the 10th, like I said, I think it was, like, the 10th or 20th percentile outcome of, like, this in general. Like, everyone has gotten old at once.
Well, I know the argument, too, is, well, what were the Mets supposed to do? Like, everybody else didn't want to come. Like, Jake wanted out. So you had to replace him with the only other, like, top-tier free agent on the market.
And Jacob DeGrom's still on the injured list.
Yeah, and Jake's been hurt, and Rodon has been hurt, and everyone's been, like, yeah, I feel like they're just cursed this year. Like, there was no getting around it.
Or is it the pitch clock and forcing pitchers to pitch?
Yes.
That they're not used to.
I mean,
in a way that could be disproportionate to older pitchers.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what Scherzer seemed to be alluding to, too.
And there was actually the first hint of empirical data of that this week, published in Baseball Prospectus, which we will link in the show notes, tweets, etc. But Daniel Epstein on Baseball Prospectus wrote about this week, about how arm injuries have increased and the pitch clock may be playing a role in this. And he pointed to, in the article, he points to the fact that the guys who were the slowest, like the slowest to the plate in last year, are the ones getting hurt more. So the slowest workers are being disproportionately impacted, which makes sense. These guys are not used to the clock. They're used to operating more slowly.
Their rhythm's probably thrown off.
And so they're getting hurt.
And they tested it in a league where people are being heavily coached and doing things differently and learning skills, as opposed to when you're here. It's not that you're not still working on stuff, but you know, you're here because of the tools and the processes that got you here. And that's a very different situation to change from, as opposed to like being in the minors and working on your stuff. Like, it's just a different mode.
Yeah.
Well, and also, this is like so messy. Like, just when they get their shit figured out, some like outside unforeseen thing comes and just blows it all to hell. Like,
oh, it's like how they rostered DHs up until there was a DH. And now they could not find a DH to save their lives.
Or literally, when they finally started,
David Wright died for this.
Yep.
Or when they started finally fielding well, and then they get rid of the shift. Like, they were just using the shift to their advantage.
Yeah, the Mets were just catching up when it comes to positioning. It's still working for Brandon Nimmo.
Yes.
And they had really good hitters last year who were less, you know, vulnerable to the shift. So they were able to perform better. And now that's equalized somewhat because others aren't facing the same issues.
But guys like Dan Vogelbach, by contrast, should be benefiting more than they are.
Yeah. There should be a lot of things going on with Vogelbach more than they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
In the baseball.
This week on Get Hench, we're talking to top athletes about how they remain at the top.
Hey, Sergey, wait up! Sergey!
Carl, why are you here?
I saw you run out of the house. What are you doing?
I'm running.
Yeah, but what are you running from? The cops.
No, I'm running and listening to our podcast.
You're going to need a better alibi than that, bro. I'll get your passport, and I know a guy who can get us a car. After that, we're on our own.
No, I just want to listen to my podcast.
Don't wombat it, meerkat it.
Simples.
This is Emma.
Hiya.
Emma works at McDonald's in Merthyr Tydfil. She's a shift manager, a vital part of the team.
Well, I try.
But more importantly, Emma's a mum of three. So when she decided to come back to work, Emma needed hours that fitted with her kids' school days.
I really did.
So we did what we could to make that happen.
And it helped a lot.
Well, you're part of our family too, Emma.
Aw, thanks.
Let's balance life and work together. Apply today at mcdonalds.co.uk/jobs.
So, like, yeah, this is, it's not, I mean, obviously it's just like, you can't, it's impossible to just say the pitch clock is the only factor, right? There's a lot else going on, but it's interesting that there's the kind of the first data that's emerging that points to it being a factor in the increased arm injuries this year. What's interesting is that the effect was predominantly present in spring training, which makes a lot of sense because that's when guys are trying to adjust to the pitch clock the most. You know, they're not used to it yet. They're trying to work on it and all of a sudden they're getting hurt. I mean, it's impossible to say whether this is having an impact. I'm not sure if it's having an impact on the Mets, like, injuries per se. Obviously Jose Quintana's injury was a pretty freak medical thing. And then you have Carlos Carrasco. We can't say that necessarily that the pitch clock made him grow a bone spur. but you know, the older pitchers are struggling with their stamina and the Mets are struggling to go deep into games as it is, and Kodai Senga is obviously getting used to the MLB workload on top of the pitch clock. And I think that it is having a negative effect that way, even if it's not causing them to be injured necessarily. I think it is affecting their stamina and causing a problem. So, you know, not to say my anti-pitch clock stance was correct all along, but...
I feel like they could have implemented it this year without a penalty, so that way people could get used to it instead of just saying, okay, here it is, now do it.
And well, so, and it's also, it's so fast.
Yes,
if they just add 5 seconds, like, on,
there could have been, there's some space in between what it is and nothing at all and guys stepping in and out of the box 500 times. Like,
yeah,
there's I feel like there's a more comfortable middle ground. 5 seconds seems like it would actually be just about right. Cause I feel like then it's still peppy. It's still snappy, but it's not this, like, this, you know, rush of everybody like hustling to get back in. Like, no, that is not, we don't need to hustle. We just need to move our butts along. Like, just keep it going. Like, that's it. Yeah. It's a lot.
Allison, how is it at the ballpark?
I thought I would. So I've only been to like a couple. I've only been to two games, and one of them was the game the game that we shall not speak of. So like
that I went to felt pretty normal.
Yeah, I will say at the home opener, I didn't really notice it, but also the home opener was a 3-hour game, so it like was one of the weird games that was long this year. So the first game I went to was a long game anyway, and the second game I went to had a massive rain delay in it, and like all sorts of stuff was weird. So like, yeah. I don't feel like I have a good handle on the in ballpark experience with it yet to say. Most people I think have said that they don't notice it.
Like does it like screw up getting your food or whatever?
Yeah. I only went once to get food during the game at the home opener. And I don't remember noticing that I felt like more time had passed or like I had missed more action. I don't know.
It felt pretty normal to me. I don't know. It was nice.
So
it was also a good game. So
yeah. I need a larger sample size. But on one hand, I need a larger sample size. On the other hand, I don't want to go see the Mets right now.
No.
But yeah, I guess TBD on that. I think that just adding 5 seconds would really help a lot. Like, I've accepted the fact that the pitch clock is probably here to stay, despite the fact that I don't like it. It clearly has the intended effect that like people wanted of shortening the games, and the fans, like the majority of fans seem to like it and the players seem to like it. So I've accepted that it's here to stay, but I just wish they would add 5 seconds on. I think that would be a lot better. But since the Mets are a depressing topic to talk about right now, for our baseball segment.
Pete hit quite a big boy bomb.
Oh, well, that's nice. At least we have one good thing.
They're still losing by a lot, but
which is that Pete Alonso is now tied again for the league lead in homers. I think Max Muncy has the same number that Pete has with that one that Pete just hit. I think they both have 14 now.
Yeah.
So at least we have one nice thing. So cool.
Poor polar bear.
Yeah. But yeah, I figured that this week, since the Mets are like horrible to talk about and no fun at all, we should talk about a couple of other teams who are no fun at all, but having spicy drama. And I greatly enjoy spicy drama when it's not my team.
Yes.
I greatly enjoy just like sitting with my popcorn and absorbing other teams' spicy drama. So
it's like we're miserable, so maybe everybody could be miserable with
misery loves company, does it not?
Yeah.
So the first bit of spicy drama is the only team with potentially the even worse vibes than the Mets this year, although I think I would put the White Sox in that category also, and the A's for obvious reasons, is the Cardinals, who have also really, really underperformed, although Nolan Arenado has been activated, so who knows what will happen with the Cardinals now.
Yeah, because they always have that devil magic.
They do. But the devil magic has been off this year because they've been really bad, and the Wilson Contreras debacle was something else. They acquired this catcher and gave him a big
from
contract.
their main rival, so they're very familiar with him.
Yeah, from their divisional rival, and it's not like they didn't know what his game was. They were familiar with him. Gave him this big contract
18 times a year.
Yes. And then decided he's not going to catch anymore. He's only going to DH. Because of he's not executing our game plan, basically blaming Wilson Contreras for the fact that their pitching has been similar to the Mets, pretty atrocious this year, which is just like kind of bullshit. like what? No.
He was their fall guy, basically.
Yes, he was their fall guy. And then they turned right around and they were like, just kidding. He just is getting a week off from catching and he's going to catch again on Monday. And it was like, oh, okay.
They're like, psych.
No.
So that was
they've
like,
got
the Cardinals.
Don't get to call them a mess very often, but yeah, they're definitely a mess right now.
They are a mess. And they get a Rotten Tomato for that. Thumbs down.
Although we did have also spicy drama today, too, with Domingo Germán getting
that was a fun one.
That was next that up on my list.
He should have been the first time.
Soapy goodness.
That was next up on my list of spicy drama because like that has escalated over the course of the past like 24 hours.
The whole game all evening has been wild.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was one of those like Stefan from SNL skit, like this game has everything. So this is the Blue Jays and the Yankees. This goes back to last night when the Blue Jays took exception to Aaron Judge kind of like doing like a little glance over toward his dugout, like a side eye glance, like while he was hitting. And right after the Blue Jays announcers pointed out that he did that, he hit like a gargantuan bomb. Now, to be fair, he is A, literally Aaron Judge, and B, the pitch was right down the heart of the plate. It was like the hangingest slider.
It was like the sixth slider in a row or something along those lines.
Yeah. But the Blue Jays announcers, nonetheless, they said like they did one of those. We don't want to throw around accusations, but
we're throwing around accusations.
But we're throwing around accusations. And worth pointing out that in the pitchcom era, there aren't really signs to steal anymore. And also worth pointing out that if the Blue Jays pitchers are tipping their pitches, or what was the language that Buster Olney used for tipping pitches? It was very funny. Oh God, Buster Olney used like some euphemism for tipping pitches, like forecasting the forthcoming pitch. It was like really funny. Hang on, I gotta find it. Oh yeah, there is an assumption on the Jays' side that their pitchers / catcher were betraying the identity of the forthcoming pitches.
It sounds like he's very much in the dishy gossip mode as well.
Yes.
Exactly.
Tell us more about the betrayal.
Yes.
Betraying the identity of the forthcoming pitches. That is
how dare she?
That is so. That's such a spicy way to say tipping pitches. How dare she? Worth noting that if they were tipping, and the Yankees dugout noticed this and found a way to signal as much to Aaron Judge, that is not illegal. The reason why the Astros sign stealing scandal was illegal was because they were using tech to do it, right? If the Yankees were not using tech, then it's fine. It's just kind of like, you know, against the unwritten rules of baseball, so to speak, which we talked about.
I'm just imagining them holding a big sign that says it's going to be a hanging slider.
A hanging slider again.
Another slider.
So that didn't make the Blue Jays very happy. And obviously Aaron Judge was not very, very happy about being accused of cheating, or not cheating, but doing nefarious things, I guess. And so this caused some tension that carried over into today's game. And first, I guess the Blue Jays, manager was jeering at, the Yankees third base coach, who we know well, who we know very well, and saying he was not in the box. And then like he called somebody on the Yankees a fat boy. And it was just like really nasty, just like lots of jeering back and forth and stuff like that. And then Domingo Germán got thrown out of the game, got ejected from the game for sticky stuff.
Nothing looked like a handful of Elmers. Like, geez,
yeah.
It was like,
and also, how stupid do you have to be that you were already like
on notice?
Yeah, and you made it more obvious.
Yeah, like he should have been, like Linda said at the top of the segment, he should have been thrown out. He should have been ejected the first time before it happened to Scherzer, and he wasn't. And so he's already like on their list to be checked very, very extensively, and he's still doing it. And there was video of like, you know, his hand rubbing against his pants, and then there's like very obvious residue there. Like with Scherzer, at least like there was nothing that from the fan perspective that you could tell, that you could see, that was obvious. It looks like that he dipped his hand like in a tub of molasses, like disgusting, like black pine tar stuff.
And like it was right like on the side of his, like it was like near his belt, and it was right where he had his thumb. Like it was a perfect thumbprint.
Yeah, he like put his hand on his hips.
Yeah.
Again, in a very good dishy gossip way. Thank you for being with the vibes. And he picks his hand up, and it's like a child's Thanksgiving turkey handprint, except it's spider attack.
Yeah.
And it was like a perfect like NCIS baseball, like like look, the evidence suggests, like look at this clue,
CSI baseball.
Dust that baby for fingerprints.
Yeah, like that was,
well, I hope they like, because they're supposed to confiscate everything to have it sent for testing. Did anybody do that?
Make him take off his pants.
Yeah. Where's Gil Grissom when you need him?
But yeah, so
we need a chain of custody.
Yeah, we need chain of custody. We need the CSI forensic team. I don't even care. Get Olivia Benson in there. I know that's not her qualifications, but still, Olivia Benson can do no wrong.
All procedurals are the same thing.
Yes,
they are. It's true. Like, listen, do I think Aaron Judge was cheating? No, but for the Yankees to spend 24 hours like being absolutely appalled of being accused of cheating only to get caught cheating is like pretty chef's kiss to me personally.
Yeah. It's beautiful, actually.
It's like, art.
We need this. We're so miserable. We need this.
Yeah, I and need to just like get
the Yankees just makes
they
it
get
better.
Us all the time.
Yes.
Like, it's, yeah, this is art to me. This is theater. CSI
and
baseball.
The game is still going, right?
Yeah.
It's still happening. I don't know what
the score
is.
Hitchcock can't take that away from us.
Yeah. So true. So true. You can't take, there's certain things you can't take away from baseball, and the drama is one of them.
It's the wackiness too.
Yes, the wackiness. So there are a couple of other things that I just wanted to shout out briefly this week. As you guys know, we talk a lot about like mental health in baseball on this podcast, and we have talked about that topic a few times in the past few episodes. And Britt Grioli at The Athletic actually wrote a really timely article about this, about mental health in baseball and like eliminating stigma around mental health and the recent phenomenon of guys going on the injured list with anxiety issues. She wrote about that for The Athletic, which feels like it's like, oh, she listened to our podcast and wrote an article about the very thing that we were talking about. So shout out. You should give that a read. We will link it in the show notes and the tweets. It's a very good piece. Highly recommend. And another, this is just like a factoid that that is just like women in sports related. And thanks to Andrew for bringing this to our attention in the Discord. Just a little fun fact. An NBA mascot makes 3 times as much as the highest paid WNBA player.
Oh, that hurts my heart.
So that's a little fun fact, you know.
Oh.
Mull over for a while.
Undermine the labor of mascots who probably have one of the worst jobs in sports. But yeah, my God.
I'm not asking for mascots to be paid less. I am asking
for female
athletes to be paid more, to be clear.
Just like, man, wow.
Yeah, that's certainly something. So that's just something to point out.
That is a choice.
But I don't want to end the show on a downer by talking about that or about the Mets. So we're going to end the show this week like we always do with walk-off wins. Where each of us talks about something that is making us happy this week, baseball related or otherwise. This is a perfect segue into Linda's walk-off win.
We're
going to do Linda's walk-off win first. And we all know what it is. And we're very excited about it. This is like a show-wide walk-off win, but it's mostly Linda's. So tell our listeners your walk-off win, Linda. Very excited about it.
I hope all our listeners listened to our Mensch of the Week last week, because they'll know that it was athlete logos and his new shirt that celebrates women in baseball and Elizabeth Benn, and all the money went to Baseball for All. And, you know, it was really exciting that they had that one shirt celebrating Elizabeth Benn pitching. So we all bought the shirts because we were all very excited about it. And then posted a picture of myself in it and saying baseball is better with a ponytail. And he goes, oh my God, that's a great slogan. And so he said, I'm going to create a shirt with that on it. And he did. And it's for sale. And he's going to send me one.
It's so good.
And it comes in different colors. And I debated about getting pink, because I'm like, oh, that fits with like the whole girl theme. But I ended up getting the navy because they have like a Mets blue, but I have so many shirts with Mets blue. I didn't want any more Mets blue. So he's sending me the navy, and the logo is so good, especially with the, because he said him, he messaged me and said him and Elizabeth have been trying to come up with a slogan for it. And he said, and yours was just perfect. And I was like, I just accidentally came up with the slogan because I tweeted out a picture of myself in the shirt. So, and again, all the proceeds are going to Baseball for All again. So it'll be the sale of this shirt. Some of the proceeds are going to Baseball for All. So you'll be supporting girls in baseball. And yes, baseball is better with a ponytail. And I stand by my statement, and I'm so excited and I can't wait to get the shirt.
Look at you, Don Draper.
I know. Just
like moment of genius.
Actually, at my old job at my old library, I was called the blurb queen because I always came up with the blurbs for all of our programs. So, I mean, he didn't know he was dealing with the blurb queen when I tweeted it out.
And it's why you knew all along.
Yes.
Just we didn't put that word to it.
Yeah.
But it's why you're so good with at coming up with snappy headlines for Amazing Avenue, too.
Yes. So it's nice to know that like my skills translate, like, you know, still the blurb queen, still wearing that crown. I'll take that crown.
Linda's out here inspiring a movement.
Yes.
So we're very excited. We will obviously link the shirt in the show notes and tweets and social media for this episode. So please buy the shirt. proceeds go to Baseball for All. It's a fantastic cause that's really close to the heart of this podcast. And the athlete logos and Elizabeth Benn are teaming up to really launch like a whole collection in this area, supporting girls in baseball and women in baseball. So that's just like so awesome. Obviously, like that is
some serious mensch of the week business right there.
It's like synergy. It's such good synergy right there.
When we
and I think we all know what we're wearing to Dollars for Dingers.
Yes.
I haven't worn mine yet because I'm saving it for Little League practice on Sunday.
Oh. Yay. If there is anything that is like, you know, the brand of this podcast, it is this movement here. So that is just, we're so excited about that. So thank you to Athlete Logos Dan and Elizabeth Benn for doing this. It makes our hearts sing. We're so happy. And congrats to Linda for
like the Mets are sucking. And I was just like happy all night, like giddy, like to the point of giddiness because he messaged me and said, oh, the shirt's out. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, we need some happy right now, given everything that's going on with the Mets. At least there's this. Maggie Wiggin, what is your walk-off win for this week?
So I have my annual dose of feel good, which is that this is our graduation day. I work at Columbia University School of Public Health, and I've been there for 15 years, and I love graduation. It is my favorite day of the year. And this year we had our first post-COVID boom class. And so we graduated almost 1,000 people today.
Wow.
And it's always so nice to be around. Everyone's so excited and the families and just like, that's almost 1,000 people who have done something awesome. And it is one big chunk of it, at least, if not all of it, finished. And it's, you know, it's a great field that I feel really passionate about. It's a day when I can really feel very proud of, you know, what we do as a school and, of all the people around us. So yay. Congratulations to Columbia Public Health 2023. All 970 of you are, near and dear to my heart.
Amazing.
Please fill out your surveys. Thank you.
Congrats to the congrats to the graduates.
yes. Amazing. And if there's any small silver linings to take away from the 3 years of bullshit that we all collectively went through as a society, it's that it is at least causing some people to be more interested in public health. So that's good. Congratulations to the class of 2023. So my walk-off win for this week is that despite everything that happened on Saturday and almost none of it went well, I still had a really nice weekend with my parents. My parents came down for Mother's Day weekend and for the baseball game. And, you know, we were stuck in a rain delay for 4 hours, but we were with each other. So that was still nice. And we had a really nice weekend overall, even though the baseball game didn't go as planned, but we still got to spend a lot of time together. We got to go to a nice brunch. And so it was still happy. And I can finally share this, walk-off win, which is like kind of part of the whole thing that I wanted to share a month ago, but I couldn't because my dad listens to this podcast and it would have ruined the surprise. So about a month ago, my colleague sent me a message on Teams at work and said, hey, listen, I have a pair of Shea Stadium seats and they've just been sitting on my deck. Do you want them? And I was like, yeah, I 1,000% want them. So we chatted for a bit and like negotiated a price and then Michael and I went one Saturday in April about a month ago to her place in Silver Spring, picked up the seats. We had a nice lunch together, talked about the Mets, and she talked about like her family members that are Mets fans and how she was just so excited to give the seats a home to someone who would really, really like appreciate them. And I was just so hype about it. So we got these Shea Stadium seats, and Michael and I have a pretty tiny apartment here in DC, and we do not really have room for them, but I knew that my parents would be psyched as hell about them, especially my dad. And so I texted my mom in secret and was like, so I want to give these seats to dad, but like, where in the house would you put them? And we were like, my mom was sending me pictures and like measurements and stuff like that, like on the down low. And so finally, this past weekend, when they came and visited for Mother's Day, I was able to surprise my dad with the Shea Stadium seats, and he loves them. And they are now.
Now, were they field level, loge?
Mezzanine. Which he's,
oh, mezzanine. Okay.
He was the green ones, which he was excited about because that's where he used to sit when he went to Shea.
Yeah, so that's usually where we sat too, the gold green seats.
The green seats. So yeah. So it was just really cool to be able to get a pair of those Shea Stadium seats and give them to my dad. And now they'll be appreciated by our family for many years to come.
Allison's parents are some of the best people. If you have ever been to an Apato event, they are always there, like just the kindest, most loving parents. Yes. And just also like fun and pleasant people to be around. But like, yes, A plus.
They're awesome.
Good job. Love to hear them having good things their way.
Yeah, my parents are great. And so that's my walk-off win, is I got to spend a nice weekend with them, and I got to gift my dad those Shea Stadium seats. So that does it for the show this week. You can go to homerunapplesauce.com to check out all of our fantastic podcasts. Obviously, there's a lot of like pain going on right now, but you can process it with us. We're all here with you. if you want to support the show, especially during dark times, getting extra misery loves company, as we've been saying this whole time. If you want to have some extra company to like vent your frustrations about the Mets, you can support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/homerunapplesauce. And you'll be able to join our Discord among other perks and get bonus podcasts. And you can join our little community. We still talk about the Mets every night, even though they stink. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. Just search Home Run Applesauce. You'll find us right there. You can follow Home Run Applesauce on Twitter and Instagram at HR Applesauce. You can follow this show on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow each of us on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Surovich.
And you, Maggie?
At Maggie162.
Please rate and review the show. It really helps people find it on your podcast app of choice. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets. And don't forget, there's no crying.